The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We have on the cover a young lady, Zayla Avant-Garde. We have Plus, Sports Most Devious Trolls, page 16, L, Playing on Pangea. We also have Take Our 2021 News Quiz, page 42. Back to Zaya Avant-Garde. This 14-year-old spells trouble on the court for opposing defenses. We'll find out more about her on page 34. And 2021 Sports Kids of the Year. As we turn the cover and see what we have to look forward to, another picture of Avant-Garde. The lineup? Sometimes you just have to mess with an opponent, like these classic trolls, page 16. Indoors or out, our Gotta Get It guide has you covered, page 18. What if the world was still only one continent? Page 22. Were you paying attention to sports in 2021? Take our year-end quiz. Page 42. On page 46, comparing athletes across eras can be a tricky task. And finally, on page 48, Emma Raducanu and Leila Fernandez are rising stars in the tennis world. And more about sports Kids of the Year 2021, Avant-Garde. She's a spelling champion and a record-setting basketball player. And Zayla Avant-Garde is only getting started. More things we have to look forward to. How about our faves? Freeze Frame, page 2. Sports Cards, page 7. Hot Take, page 9. Birthdays, page 13. Posters, page 27. On page 31, The Treehouse. Page 52, What's the Call? Page 53, Gaines. Page 54, Art Gallery. And page 56, Buzz Beamer. Let's get started with Freeze Frame. Looks like here the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Green Bay Packers. October 3rd, 2021, Green Bay, Wisconsin. No matter where his receivers go, Aaron Rodgers is watching them. Here he flings a pass in Green Bay's 27-17 win over the Steelers, a game in which Rodgers threw for a pair of touchdowns. The latter, a one-yard toss to Randall Cobb, was the 420th TD pass of Rodgers' career, which tied him for sixth all-time. More freeze frame. This time it's basketball. Looks like we have the Atlanta Hawks versus the Dallas Mavericks. Threading the Needle, October 21st, 2021, Atlanta, Georgia. Sometimes things don't go as planned, but they still turn out okay. Here, Hawks point guard Trae Young tried to pass the ball to Clint Capella, but the big man was surrounded and lost control of the rock. Young picked up the loose ball and scored two of his 19 points. He also had 14 assists, despite not getting one on this play, as Atlanta pummeled Dallas 113-87. And who's who in sports? Page 8. We'll do top line first for today. Caitlin Clark, Iowa Hawkeyes guard. Her height is 6 feet. She was born January 22, 2002, in her hometown, West Des Moines, Iowa. As a freshman, Clark led the country in scoring, averaging 26.6 points per game. She also led the nation in total assists with 214, as the Hawkeyes went 20-10 and advanced to the Sweet 16. Over the summer, Clark won a gold medal with the United States at the FIB Under-19 World Cup, where she was named MVP. But did you know the best single-season scoring average in NCAA women's history was 33.6, set by Patricia Haskins of Mississippi Valley State in 1988 and 89. Next, we have Brendan Aaronson, soccer midfielder. His height is 5'10". His weight is 149 pounds. He was born October 22nd, 2000. His hometown, Medford, New Jersey. With two goals in the September World Cup qualifying cycle, Aronson raised his total for the men's national team to 5 in just 13 games. After finishing second in the 2019 Major League Soccer Rookie of the Year voting and being included in the 2020 Major League Soccer Best 11, Aronson transferred from the Philadelphia Union to Red Bull Salzburg. Did you know Salzburg, Austria's fourth largest city, was the birthplace of composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart? And finally, in Who's Who, A Thing Mu, USA track. Her height is 5'10". She was born June 8, 2002, her hometown, Trenton, New Jersey. When she was just 19, Mu won two gold medals at the Tokyo Olympics in August. She won the 800 meters and was also a member of the 4x400 meter relay team. In the 800, she set an American record and became the first United States runner to win the event in 53 years. Mu went to Texas A&M for 1 year before turning pro. Did you know the youngest Olympic gold medalist was 13-year-old American diver Marjorie Gestring, who won in 1936? On to page 9, warm-up, hot take, duel of the fates. And here we have a bunch of little balls. It looks like maybe balls getting ready for the, maybe the NBA draft? Abolish the drafts. The drafts are bad. I'm not just talking about the Major League Baseball one, after which teams back out of contract due to minor medical concerns, or the NBA version, which encourages franchises to tank for years on end. A draft of cool air coming through my office, the Selective Service System. The first draft of Buzz Beamer's romance novel. It's all bad. Every sports league should ban them. In theory, the draft is about fairness. Weak teams who might struggle to attract free agent talent have an opportunity to improve. And good teams don't even get punished. They just get less better. Drafts even have an appealing symmetry. Franchises pick in roughly the opposite order of how they placed. The symmetry, however, creates the first problem with drafts. Tanking. Teams like the Philadelphia 76ers, who infamously won just 47 games over three seasons from 2013 to 2016, became as bad as possible in an attempt to string together a few good draft classes. They punished their fans to their own bad management. To discourage tanking, the NBA and NHL have draft lotteries in which the worst teams have only an increased chance of getting the top pick. But that system has worsened the problem in some cases. Even if one team is obviously the worst in the league, other franchises retain an incentive to lose. They could still win the lottery. Okay, maybe you can stomach a little tanking. Maybe you even enjoyed it when your favorite team chased the top pick. But you say, it's still better than the system that allowed the New England Patriots to sign Alabama's entire senior class. But why shouldn't they? Consistently successful organizations don't get that way by chance. They boast the best coaches, trainers, and culture. It's better for an entire league in the long run if that sport's top prospects have the support necessary to become the biggest stars they can be. What if the best software engineer coming out of the most prestigious college had a generous offer to work for Google? Would it be fair to force someone who worked hard to become the best in their field to instead join the crummiest tech company? If anything, this scenario is even more unfair with athletes who risk their health by joining bad teams. Derek Carr's older brother, David, was the first pick in the 2002 NFL draft and the first college player ever selected by the Houston Texans. The new franchise thrust his young quarterback into action right away, and he was sacked 76 times in his rookie season. now remembered as one of the biggest draft busts of all time, David Carr might have had a different career if he could have signed with the team with a stable offensive line and a track record of developing passers. Not everyone wants to work for Google, however, and not every athlete dreams of playing for the Lakers or Cowboys. For nearly a century, Major League Baseball functioned without a draft, and a significant portion of its amateur talent, international free agents, are still free to sign with teams of their choosing. In 2008, Michael Yanoa, a 16-year-old pitcher from the Dominican Republic and the most prized international free agent in a decade, spurred the Yankees to sign with the Oakland Athletics, an organization infamous for being cheap. Yanoa cited Oakland's history of developing pitchers. An amateur free agent system forges a stronger bond between fans, players, and teams. Getting picked by a team can seem like a hostage situation. Just look at any photo of Eli Manning at the 2004 draft below. The reasons a prospect would prefer to sign with a small market club, a hometown connection, a chance to play with their childhood hero, a desire to put an obscure franchise on the map, would endear them that much more to their new fans. Finally, I want to thank every Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, National Football League, and National Hockey League organization that has so far refrained from scouting me out of respect for my anti-draft stance. I fear, however, that despite the enormous influence of my hot take column, the current system won't go away until my best playing days are behind me. That being said, I'm hereby declaring my draft eligibility in every sport. Interested scouts should contact my editor for my highlight reel. And we have a picture here of Eli Manning, Aquafina. Eli Manning's infamous draft day holdout could have been avoided. Continue with warm-up. Debate. What is the national sport? We have a picture here of Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs throwing a ball, I guess the first pitch at a Royals baseball game. The debate. What is the national sport? Buzz and Whitney debate baseball versus football. Kind of. Whitney. In some countries, the government has designated a national sport. Canada even has two, lacrosse for the summer and hockey for the winter. Other countries have de facto national sports, as their favorite games are obvious. The United States has neither. Though it has never been legally acknowledged as such, baseball has long been called America's pastime. The country's most popular sport, however, is football by far. Buzz, would you like to make your opening statement? Buzz, I disagree. Whitney, with what? Buzz, Your Honor, I object. Whitney, Buzz, if you weren't paying attention, it's time for your argument. Buzz, oh, my bad. Okay, here's the deal. Football is the best, and everyone knows it. Polling shows that 37% of Americans consider it their favorite, compared with just 9% for baseball, which ranks third behind basketball. Baseball's not even second. Shouldn't this debate be football versus basketball? Whitney, what's the greatest British rock band of all time? The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, or Status Quo, which had more hit singles in the UK than any other group? Nobody should say Status Quo in this country, at least, because no one's ever heard of them. Football is our status quo. A big hit here and a flop everywhere else. Take a more global view. Kip, baseball is popular from Cuba to Japan. Everywhere else, football means soccer. Buzz, your musical references, like your taste in sports, are in the wrong century. Wit, wouldn't the fact that football is uniquely popular here make it our national sport? Actually, that's my argument. Forget I phrased it like a question. Whitney, your view of the issue is as short-sighted as it is provincial. Football may be a big deal now, but injury concerns and convoluted rules have put it on the decline. The National League started in 1876, and still, Major League Baseball is the second highest grossing league in the country. That's staying power. Buzz, being older doesn't make a sport better. Neither does the length of the schedule, the beauty of the stadium, nor the number of mascots that are birds. It's like saying being a certain height makes you more or less likely to get injured. Whitney, you're talking about that roller coaster again. Buzz, my hair is part of me. If he's trying to figure out if I'm at least 60 inches tall, why would he smoosh my hair down? I'm 5'3 with a hat. Continuing with warm-up, reader engagement, page 12. Kip's mailbag. You wrote and he answered. To have your letter appear in a future issue, email kip.shoremore@si.com. Tate writes, Hi, Kip. I'm a big baseball fan, but I am not a fan of the wild card game. You take two teams, ranked fourth and fifth in their leagues, and have them play one winner-takes-all game. I think this is ineffective because you could have a team that is much better than the other lose because they had one bad day. Why don't they expand the playoffs and make it like basketball, letting the top 18 per league be in the playoffs? Hi, Tate. I agree with your qualms about the wild card games, though I have a different solution. Winner takes all does seem too extreme in baseball, in which single games are too often decided by bad luck, weather, or available pitching. But expanding the Major League Baseball playoff format would de-emphasize the September pennant races that have always made baseball special. So why not go back to just a four-team playoff? That way, no lucky teams can threaten the cream of the crop that has risen after 162 grueling contests. JD writes, Why don't longer field goals give you more points like three-pointers in basketball? Thanks. I like this idea, and you're not alone in proposing it. The new defunct NFL Europe gave teams 4 points for hitting a goal longer than 50 yards. Legendary kicker Adam Vinatieri wanted the rule in the NFL. The league probably hasn't done it because it knows my kicking prowess would dominate. Oliver writes, Hi, Kip. Your article about team design was really good. Speaking of that, I was wondering what your favorite sports jerseys are. Thanks, Oliver. Since you have such good taste in articles, I'm sure you have equally good taste in uniforms and will agree with my current top five, which is as follows. Miami Heat, City, alternate. Paris Saint-Germain, away. Pittsburgh Steelers, home. Vegas Golden Knights, home. And Oakland's A's, green, alternate. November birthdays. November 13th, British tennis player Emily Raducanu turns 19. November 19th, New York Yankees slugger Joey Gallo is 28 years old. November 25th, Seattle Kraken goalie Philip Grubauer celebrates his 30th birthday. And Buffalo Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs turns 28. The grid. We have U.S. skier Jalen Koff, Arizona Coyotes defenseman Jacob Kikren, interviewed by Kid reporter Christopher John, and Vanderbilt outfielder Enrique Bradfield Jr., interviewed by Kid reporter Anna Leibel. Question, what job would you want if you weren't an athlete? By the way, Jalen Koff is a skier, Jacob Tykren is the Arizona Coyotes defenseman, and Enrico Bradfield is the Vanderbilt outfielder. Well, Jalen Koff says he'd like to be an architect. Jacob Tykren, something finance-related. And Enrique says working on classic and exotic cars. Next question. What was your favorite subject in school? Jalen, art and match. Jacob, math and science. Enrique, history. Next question. What's your hidden talent? Jalen, I get pretty groovy on the dance floor and like to think of myself as an aspiring swing dancer. Jacob, I'm good at Sudoku. Enrique, I have no hidden talent. Next question. What's your go-to pregame meal? Avocado toast with eggs in Argula. That's from Jalen. Jacob says, well, pasta and chicken. And Enrique, rice and steak. Next we have, who was your favorite athlete growing up? Jalen Kauf, the skier, says, Sarah Burke. Jacob Chychrun, LeBron James. Enrique Bradfield, Dwayne Wade. And finally, what's the hardest skill to learn in your sport? Jalen, the skier, says jumping. The Coyotes defenseman in hockey says by far skating. And Enrique, the Vanderbilt pitcher, says mental toughness. Okay, continuing with warm-up. Free advertising. Show me the money. Alabama defensive back Kool-Aid McKinstry signed an obvious endorsement deal for a drink mix. Do you know which products these athletes pitched? We have Yamir Yager, Cristiano Ronaldo, Drew Brees, Serena Williams, David Beckham. Well, let's find out. Yamir Yager signed with peanut butter. Cristiano Ronaldo signed with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Drew Brees signed with NyQuil. Serena Williams signed with Oreos. David Beckham signed with fish sticks. Good job. Troll call. Sometimes beating a rival team isn't enough. Sometimes you gotta mess with them too. Telling smirk. Nobody knows the rules better than Bill Belichick, who found a loophole in 2019 that allowed him to run off a lot of game clock by taking two consecutive penalties, up 33-0 against the Jets. He deployed this technique and then flashed the ever-rare smile. He wasn't so happy, however, when the Titans used the same loophole against him later that season. Piece of cake. When Kevin Durant left the Thunder, Russell Westbrook posted a picture of cupcakes on Instagram to imply his former teammate had gone soft. Durant and the Warriors laughed all the way to the NBA Finals. They wore cupcake post-game t-shirts, and KD even released a red velvet edition of his signature shoe. Sweet tweets. The NBA took the rare step in 2017 of banning teams from trolling one another in social media. So the Kings and Hawks teamed up to troll the troll rule, sending each other over-the-top compliments ever Twitter-like. Hope we have a nice clean game tonight. An incredible arena you guys have here. In the end, the rule did make the teams friendlier by uniting them against the league office. Jumbo jokes. The person working the Stars Jumbotron has a sense of humor. Among their greatest hits, posting Ontario native Justin Bieber's police mug shot during a game against the Leafs, enlisting Aragon and the Pink Power Ranger as the greatest Rangers during a contest with New York. Le Troll Epique. National hockey teams generally avoid signing other teams' restricted free agents to offer sheets because of the bad blood it creates. For example, in 2019, the Canadiens offered the Hurricane Sebastian Aho $42 million. 2 years later, Carolina offered sheet Montreal's Jesperi Kotkaniemi and announced it on Twitter in French. Ultimately, Montreal couldn't match and Carolina ended up with both players. Magnifique. And finally, sign of the times. After their sign-stealing scandal, the Astros figured to get grief from opposing fans wherever they went. In L.A., the organist got in the act playing The Sign by Ace of Base before Josh Reddick's at-bat. The song is from Before Your Time, but you get the joke. What if Earth had only one continent? Pages 22 to 25. Have you ever looked at a map of the world and noticed how the East coast of the Americas from Quebec down to the tip of Argentina seem to fit perfectly inside the west coast of Europe and Africa, like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. It's not just your imagination running wild while you zone out in social studies. 200 million years ago, the geography of our planet was dominated by a single supercontinent, now called Pangaea. Earth is more than 4.5 billion years old, almost twice the length of Tom Brady's NFL career. And in that time, the continents have gradually drifted to a phenomenon known as plate tectonics. Now, I'm not your science teacher and won't spend this entire article explaining how it works, but take it from someone who once graduated the eighth grade. There is compelling evidence of a supercontinent that, over 100 billion years, dispersed. What we now call Brazil once bordered modern-day Nigeria. New York City neighbored Morocco, and Portugal was part of Canada. For scientists, this information has a profound impact on how they understand the prehistoric world. For a sports writer, it raises simpler questions. Would the Morocco Mets be favorites to win the pennant? Who could possibly stop the Brazil-Nigeria-Cameroon soccer superpower? What would baseball's worst team be called if the Baltimore Orioles had never evolved from dinosaurs? The differences in sports culture are as wide as our oceans. But what if those oceans simply weren't there? How would sports be different if the world had never split up? Of course, to create a modern-day Pangaea, we can't totally ignore science. The problem with imagining New York bordering Morocco is we picture those places as they exist today. The modern differences between the verdant northeastern United States, arid North Africa, have everything to do with where the continents drifted after they split apart. As much as any cultural factor, the best predictor of a country's favorite sport is its latitude on the globe. And let's go to end zone. What's the call? Icing the passer. The SI Kids staff is playing football in the snow. With Whitney's team huddling up on the offense, Kip builds a snowman on the line of the scrimmage. On the next play, after Whitney takes the snap, Kip rushes the quarterback from the opposite side of the line as his frozen creation. Whitney rolls out and attempts to throw, hitting the snowman in the helmet. The ball, however, deflects back to her behind the line. She tries to pass again and uncorks a deep scoring throw to Buzz in the end zone. Kip complained that his pal Frosty already deflected Whitney's pass and the play should be over. Whitney argues that the ball never hit the ground and she can still throw from behind the line. Does the touchdown count? Answer. The touchdown doesn't count. A team pass during each down, a deflected pass at the line, counts. We have no opinion on the legality of the snowman. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivy, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.